Mishnah Beis, Karas Serugin, if somebody read the Megillah with many hesitations. They read the first Pasuk and then waited a long time. Even if each break, each pause between the Pasukim was enough time to read the entire Megillah in that break, nevertheless, at the end of the day, as long as he does not have a proper interruption with things unrelated to the Megillah, and he reads the Pesukim in order, so then he does fulfill his obligation. Umisnamnim. The same applies to somebody who is reading the Megillah as he is sort of dozing off. He's not fast asleep, but he's not wide awake either. He's sort of in that middle stage where he can still, if you were to ask him a question, he would answer you. But if it's a question which requires some thought, then he wouldn't really be able to answer you. But he is awake enough to answer you and to remember what he said, and therefore it is considered to be that he has enough intention to fulfill the mitzvah, which is necessary, and therefore yatzah, he does fulfill the obligation. Hayakosva, if somebody was writing a Megillah, and the way he would write it is that he would have a Megillah which was a valid Megillah already, and had been fully written, and could be used for reading the Megillah. And he copies each posuk from that ready Megillah. So as long as he actually reads each posuk and says it out loud, as he is copying it, so then he does fulfill his obligation. Similarly, Dersha, if somebody is explaining the Megillah, even in the middle of the Megillah itself, so for example, he says one posuk, and then explains the meaning and the understanding of that posuk, and then carries on reading the next posuk. That is not considered to be an interruption, because it's part of the mitzvah of the Megillah, explaining what is going on in the story, and therefore he would fulfill his obligation. Thirdly, Umagia, and if he is correcting a Megillah, so again, it's a valid Megillah, but he is correcting a few minor mistakes, or perhaps he's just reading it to check for mistakes, so it's still a valid Megillah. If he reads it out loud, then in Kivin Liboy, if he intends to fulfill the mitzvah, and he doesn't only intend just to copy the words, or to explain them, so then Yotzah, he has to fulfill his obligation, Vim Lav, but if not, even if he is reading the entire Megillah, if he does not have the intention to fulfill his mitzvah, then Loyotzah, he's not fulfilled his obligation. We're going to understand that this Mishnah goes according to the opinion that mitzvah tzricha is kavana. In order to fulfill a mitzvah, one needs to intend to fulfill it. Even if he performs the mitzvah, if he doesn't intend that this is his mitzvah, then he has not fulfilled the obligation and he will need to read the Megillah again. Now the second half of the Mishnah discusses the requirements of the Megillah itself, the actual scroll, and how it needs to be written. Hoysak suva basam, if it was written with some sort of yellowish dye, with a sikra, some sort of red dye, with a komos, the gum which comes out of a tree trunk, with a kankantoim, another sort of dye, which is made up of various natural ingredients. So that's in terms of the dyes which cannot be used, as we are going to see. They cannot be used for the Megillah, since they are not considered to be permanent enough, and one of the requirements of a Megillah is that it needs to be written with permanent ink. Now in terms of the actual scroll, the parchment itself, al-hanayar, if you wrote it on paper, made of grass, but it's not made of animal hides, val-adiftara, or from half-processed parchment, which is from an animal's skin, but it hasn't been processed fully, lo-yotza, is not fulfilled his obligation, ad-shetaheka suva. Unless it is written Ashuris, which is the script in which every Torah scroll and Megillah needs to be written for it to be valid, Al HaSefer, on real parchment which has been processed fully, Uvidyoi, and with regular black permanent ink, which is very clear on the parchment and is permanent.